Okay, so let's start from the beginning with this. There's a famous var from the Abdi Rebbe, Abdi Rav, on last week's parsha. You have to hear that. You have to know the Abdi Rav. The Abdi Rav was the Oiv Yisrael. He loved Jews. His whole life was about loving Jews and caring for Jews. And his whole sefer called the Oiv Yisrael. That's the name of his sefer. You can pick it up. You can learn the Oiv Yisrael. So they came to him once and they said, Rebbe, the Abdi Rav had an opinion that every week's parsha references somewhere Avas Yisrael. So I said, Rebbe, where do you see Avas Yisrael and Pasha's Balak? He said, Pasha's Balak, that's the easiest parsha. The letters Balak, Beis Lamed Kuv, spell V'yahafto, the Reyacho Kamoich. Easy. So the Chassidim said, Rebbe, V'yahafto, Reyacho Kamoich. That's a Vav, Beis, Lamed, Kuv. It doesn't work. So he said, that's your problem. If you want to have real Avas Yisrael, you have to be able to bend a little bit. You have to be able to wiggle room a little bit. Don't be so, that doesn't work out perfectly. That was the Abdi Rav's vote. I'll take it a step further. I think the Abdi Rav might have meant is that when you look at something so closely, you are bound to find flaws. If you scrutinize everything so carefully, you will find flaws. Because everything has flaws. Everyone has flaws and everything has flaws. So the closer you look at something, the more prone you are to find a mistake. If you take a step back and you look from a distance, you don't see all the flaws. You don't see, the weight gain, but the other Hispanic people, you don't see it from afar. It's hard to tell from afar. So the Abdi Rav was saying that if we look at each other so closely and we notice every vav and every vase, we're not going to have Avas Yisrael. But if we want to develop real Avas Yisrael, we have to take a step back. We don't have to look so clearly and so closely. A vav and a vase, a kuf, and you have a little bit more wiggle room. But the truth is, I think the Abdi Rav picked this week's parasha for a specific reason, because this past parasha had a lot to do with Avas Yisrael. What did it have to do with Avas Yisrael? Because the pasuk says that Moav was afraid of the Jewish people, Kiravu, because we were many. So you don't have to be the biggest Baal Digduk to know. Digduk should say Ravu, Ki Rabim, not Ravu is singular, it should be Rabim. So the answer given by many G'dayle Achreinim is that the reason why Moav was afraid of us was because we had unity. Because we had Achlus, that's why Moav was afraid. He was afraid because Klai Yisrael was one. Ki Yishach HaBaleivichad, we were unified. And when we're unified, then we're taka a scary nation. The nations of the world are scared of us. When we are unified, when we have Achdus, that's when Klai Yisrael has power. But how did Klai Yisrael get that unity? We struggle with this Adiyem Ezeh. That's why we're sitting in Avelos today, because we don't have the unity. How did Klai Yisrael have the unity back then? So Rashi, I think, gives away the answer. Rashi says that the tents were not facing each other. You couldn't see into each other's tent. So most people learn Pshat. It's a tzniyas thing. But I said this over my shul. Someone told me about the Shaul Salomon said it, so I felt even better. That what Shaul Salomon says is that it's more than that. What's the biggest one of the biggest reasons for jealousy is for hatred is jealousy. What causes jealousy? I know what's going on by you. I see what's going on by you and I feel jealous. If I'm jealous, to compensate for that, I start to speak ill of you or speak lashon hara. But if I don't know what's going on in your life, what am I jealous of? I don't know how much money you have. I don't know how you're spending it. I don't know anything. So even when the fact that Klai Yisrael's tents were private, it wasn't just sneers. It was more than that. It helped us not fight with each other, because what am I fighting over? It's not like I'm jealous because I see you have this, that, and the other. I have no idea what you have. I'm not exposed to it. So the more we're not exposed to seeing what someone else has, it just makes us happier. And if we're happier, we're less motivated to speak Lashon Hara. I saw an amazing report. It could be it's old, that there was that Tesla's first came out, not Tesla or Pop. It was known that people would go around keying Tesla cars. Just for the Bahachas. Why? Because they were jealous. I should want one. I want a Tesla also, especially now with the gas prices. Who doesn't want a Tesla? So they have video, because the new Teslas all have videos to everything. So they have videos of people just going lahachas to scratching the car. Where does that stem from? It stems from this vart. It bothers me that you have a fancy car that I can't afford. So what do I do? So I have to scratch your car. I mean, it's illogical. It doesn't make any sense. But I'm not saying people shouldn't drive Tesla cars. I am saying I think what people do on social media is where we get ourselves into trouble. Today people make these lavish events and they post it to the whole world to see. So that taka causes people to be jealous. Again, you send it to your family, they're happy for you. That's one thing. You send it to people that are not so friendly with you, and that breeds jealousy. So Zakta Rashi, the fact that Klai Yisrael was talking in their own camps, they didn't see what was going on. But yeah, that taka brought Avas Yisrael. So I think that's the chap. The way the Jewish people merited to have achdus back then was because they weren't exposed to what's going on by Yen. Today we live in a very social world. We know everything that everyone does. What you eat for breakfast, the world will know. If you have enough followers, they'll know what you ate for breakfast, where you went on vacation, and they know everything. So I don't know if it's such a good thing, because that what breeds jealousy. Again, if sharing it with your family and your family chat, I think is nice. I think your kids and grandchildren want to know what you're doing. They want to see what you're doing, and you want to see what they're doing. But when people have social media sites, which today is very popular, everyone has to know everything they do. I don't think it ends well. I think it just breeds more and more animosity. It breeds more sinas Yisrael, which is what we're working on today in 3 weeks, 9 days. The whole hachana is to work on that. And the Torah, I think, is telling us one of the key factors is don't look so careful. Don't be so meticulous with everyone. Look, take a step back. Take 20 feet back. You look at everyone from 20 feet. If you take off your glasses, when you look at everyone, you'll see they're not as bad as you think. They're a lot nicer, a lot more presentable, not as difficult as you think. But as Dr. Roth pointed out, we sometimes look too carefully. We need to take a step back when we're looking at Achenu B'nai Yisrael. Just this last night was the untimely passing of Rosh Hashiva and Tells. Of course, the 1 week we could talk about Tells Chicago, Michael was not here, but Shmuel Yehuda Levin, the son of Rav Chaim Levin, was a young Rosh Hashiva, 63 years old. He never had a heart attack last night, and he passed away early this morning. Very, very sad loss to Klal Yisrael. He was one of the up-and-coming Rosh Hashivas. He was Mamal Mokim of his father. He was very involved in Klal work. It was very, very sad on a day which is already sad for Klal Yisrael, just to add more sadness to what is going on. So it's a sad day for Klal Yisrael. Today's learning is dedicated to Nishmas. Eliezer B'Shlomo. Eliezer B'Shlomo, Yartzeit is Bo'i B'Yom. We don't always have the opportunity to have a Bo'i B'Yom. But Baruch Hashem, today we have the opportunity to learn Bo'i B'Yom. We've mentioned many times the famous word from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says a lot that you could do for someone's neshama is fantastic. But anything you could do with involved in the world of learning and living a lifestyle where the children and grandchildren are living, a Torah lifestyle is the greatest schos that you could do for the neshama. So Baruch Hashem, David has been very much involved in all our learning here, very active in building our learning in our shurim, in communities, chesed work, throughout the communities involved in the shul. It's an amazing schos for his father. His father, I got to learn a little bit about your father, David, from you, about his years in Florida with all the different gedolim who used to come to Florida, which was an amazing time that he got to spend with the different gedolim and help them and take them around. His chashivas for Rabbanim, which is passed down to David today, Baruch Hashem. So our learning today and all the good midas that the family does today should be a schos for his neshama and his yartzeit, which is today. Okay, we're starting a sugya today, which is negeya on a couple of fronts, because it's both the topic of tainis nidche. So this year we happen to have two tainis nidches. We have one on Shavuos Thomas today, and we have one on Tisha B'Av. And part of our sugya today is, are they similar or are they different? Is every tainis nidche the same? Or perhaps certain tainis nidche work differently than other tainis nidche? Now, what is the basis of a tainis nidche? So everyone tries to assume that since today's a nidche, they don't have to fast, right? Probably the most popular poll people ask is, well, since today's a nidche, I don't have to fast, or I can be more lenient with fasting, which it's true. We have to see, A, why that is true, and B, to what extent that is true, but where does that notion even come from? Because it's more lenient with fasting. With the actual tainus, whatever the rules of the tainus are. But the question is, where does this all come from? What's the background for that? Why should it be that way? So let's see where this concept of tainus nitche even starts. So we have a Gemara Megillah Daf Hei. And keep in mind, as we go through the sugya, is Shavuos V'Tamuz is different than Tisha B'Av. That's the other thing I want everyone to keep in mind as we go through the sugya. So let's start off with the concept. Where do we learn a concept of tainus nitche? Where does that come from? So we have a Gemara Megillah Daf Hei. The Gemara Megillah is talking about all the different days you can read the Megillah. You can bring the Megillah even before Purim. You read the Megillah Yiral a few days. So the Gemara says over there, it's really a Mishnah. It says, Avos man atzei kayhana b'tisha b'av. But there are certain things that you don't do before, but rather you push off. What are they? So you have zman atzei kayhanim. That's the day where a certain family had the rights to bring wood for the kayhanim. V'tisha b'av, and tisha b'av, the chagig of a hakel ma'achrin v'loy makdim. So we'll talk about Tisha B'Av for now. Says the Mishnah that when it comes to Tisha B'Av, we push Tisha B'Av away instead of bringing a Kor. Meaning, in theory, when Tisha B'Av falls on a Shabbos, you have two choices. You can either fast on Sunday, you can fast on Thursday. Why don't you fast on Thursday? Says the Gemara, no, we push it away, we fast on Sunday. Says the Gemara, why? Tisha B'Av, Agdume Parani Yes Loi Maktimi. We don't bring up bad things. The mashal I was given to my Talmidim was, right, when you do homework, that's the last thing you do at the end of the night. First you play, you eat dessert, you have fun. At the end of the night, you do homework. Why? Because it's peronious. You don't want to do it right away. You want to push it off as much time as you have to push it off to the last thing is new. I have to deal with it. So here also, I don't want to have to commemorate and deal with the tissue. So I push it off. Now you can even add, maybe you hope if I push it off far enough, Mashiach will come. I won't even have to deal with it. So keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. It's like, you know, the court cases when you have a traffic ticket. Everyone knows you keep pushing it off. Hopefully the cop won't show up, the judge won't show up, and they'll forget about it. Keep pushing and pushing and pushing off. So here also, we keep pushing off the date of Tisha B'Av. Hopefully it will go away. So that's why, says the Gemara, we push off Tisha B'Av instead of bringing it close. This is the makar of what we know of is nitche, it's pushed. It's pushed away, it's pushed further, and we deal with it after the original date of Tisha B'Av. Now, there's a very important Rashi over here. Rashi writes, it's Rashi's first explaining to us about the wood. There were families that had specific days that they used to donate the wood to the Beis HaMikdash. They bring a carbon. Fine. So what happened if it fell on Shabbos? It wasn't like a Shabbos. They pushed it off to Sunday. If Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, says Rashi, don't think that this Gemara only means Tisha B'Av is in Nitche, but any other fast day, we wouldn't say that. Says Rashi, not so. If Shavuos B'Tammuz falls out on Shabbos, it goes to Sunday, as well as Asar B'Tevis. So first of all, this Rashi is famous, because Rashi assumes that if Asar B'Tevis would fall out on Shabbos, we would fast on Sunday. It's well known that Abu Draham is quoted, that Abu Draham says no, that if Asar B'Tevis would fall out on Shabbos, we take a fast on Shabbos. Fast on Shabbos. And everyone mutches to try to understand Pshat in this Abu Draham. How could it be if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we fast on Sunday? So if Tavis falls on Shabbos, we fast on Shabbos. How could it be? So we've spoken about that in other Shurim, but maybe we'll come back to it later. But I just want to point out that Rashi seems, again, Yesh Lod and how much to prove from this Rashi, but it seems like from Rashi that the lomnus of Nidcha is true for all three fast days. Tisha B'Av Nidcha, Shavuos B'Tammuz Nidcha, Shavuos B'Tammuz Nidcha. It would sound like, I can't say I have 100% proof, it sounds like from Rashi that they all work the same way. They're all the same. Whenever pushed from Shabbos to Sunday, it's always the same. Or Rashi just means the outcome is the same, but the lomdus is different. We'll see in a minute, there's a big chakira, how to understand the time is Nidcha. So the question is that chakira only for Tisha B'Av, or is it for all of the fast days? So Rashi seems like he lumped them all together in one bowl over here. So my feeling would be that Rashi thinks all fast days are the same. They're all Tainus Nidcha, and Tainus Nidcha means you keep it on Sunday. Sefek Rashi. I behold the knock at Tisha B'Av. Sefek Rashi Akash, I don't get it. So why pick Tisha B'Av? Says Rashi, Mishum Dvochfu Lubot Tzaris. Because we know Tisha B'Av has double whammy Tzaris. Both Beis and Bat Mikdashim were destroyed on the same day. The Hakol Misanabo. And everyone fasts Tisha B'Av. So Rashi's answer is because this definitely we spoke about in previous years. There's a famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that every fast day, besides for Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, is really depending on what's going on at that time in Jewish history. If the Jewish people are being oppressed, the fast is mandatory. Mandatory means it has all the Chamishei Nuyim, and it starts the night before. It's well known by now that during the Holocaust, Jews here in America, those who were knowledgeable, are kept on the minor fast days a full fast day. Why? Because the Gemara says when there's Gzeiras HaMalchus, when the Jews are being oppressed in a terrible way, then the fast days are mandatory. So mandatory means that you have the five in Nuyim and you start the night before. So many Jews here in America taka kept Asar B'Teves like that. The Salvation records that. I heard some other people who lived at that time. That's based on this Gemara. However, says the Gemara, if there is none of that, so then it's up to us to decide. We can either opt in or opt out. So what's today considered? So today, when the Gemara says, if there's Shalom, Shalom means that we have the Beis HaMikdash, at least according to most Rishonim. So if there's a Beis HaMikdash, then not only is there no fast day, these days become holidays, and they're prohibited to fast. Says the Gemara, what happens if you're in between? No oppression, but no Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, it's up to you to decide. So by raise of hands, how many people want to opt in for today's fast? They didn't think so, right? So they'll opt in anything. So I think most of us would vote for no. No, we're not interested. However, the Ramban already tells us too late. It was already decided by the Rishonim that we have to fast, but we don't have to take all the five Inuyim, and we don't start that before. It's more of a calmer, tamer type of fast. But we still have to fast. Zok the Rashi, that's why we picked Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the one fast that will always happen. Shavuos B'Tammuz could technically not happen. Why? If you're living at a time when there's a Beis HaMikdash, and there is no Shavuos B'Tammuz. So therefore, we picked a fast day that will always be on the books, no matter what is going on, and therefore we picked Tisha B'Av. That's the way. No, we're talking about, this is the old Shiloh, what they do between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni. Do they keep Tisha B'Av? I think we might have spoken about this once. Salvation, because on this topic, we spoke about that. But he's assuming that Shavuos B'Tammuz, the Sabbath is those fast days, there's wiggle room. So I think most of us would have given a different answer to Rashi's question. I think most of us would have said, I would have had it since Tisha B'Av is taka such a big day. What do you mean, Kavach Haimer? Right. That's why you picked Tisha B'Av, to tell me that. That's meaning, I would have thought maybe Tisha B'Av is taka not a Nitzche. Maybe Tisha B'Av is so important that you taka have to fast on Shabbos. Now, the Minchas Chinuch has a kasha, which maybe we'll get to. Maybe you should fast on Shabbos. Minchas Chinuch asks, the whole idea of not eating on Shabbos is not in the Torah. It's possible in the Navi. Karas l'Shabbos, eating Shabbos is not a Din D'Oraisa. As much as we'd like to convince ourselves it is, that every bowl of chalent we eat is a mitzvah deraisa. It's not. It's a mitzvah derabanan. Karas l'shabbos. However, the tanesi of the navi might be on a higher level. So, effectively, in cheschinuch, why do we all assume that Shabbos wins to Tishvav? Maybe Tishvav should beat out Shabbos, but that l'chayra would only be true if you're talking about something like Tishvav. Shabbos b'tamas maybe a lower level. So we'll come back to that in a few minutes. Hopefully, we'll see about that topic. So what do we see from this Gemara? We see from the Gemara that every tainus that comes, at least according to Rashi, every tainus that comes down the pike that falls on Shabbos, we move it over. So we have we know that the Shabbos b'tamas today doesn't fall out on Shabbos. Asar b'tev, it doesn't fall out on Shabbos today because we manipulated the calendar, but it does fall out on Friday. And we take a fast on Friday. We had that not so long ago. Asar b'tev is that fell out on Friday. Now, Rashi Shita is that any fast day that falls out on Shabbos, it gets pushed to Sunday. What's the only kasha that I'm waiting for someone to ask me? This rule is not true for all Tanaisim. What's the only fast day where we don't go ahead, so we go backwards? Tanis Esther. You just told me that the Gemara's Rashi said. Now, Rashi didn't say a word about Tanis Esther. Rashi was very careful in his wording. Rashi said, Shavuos b'Tammuz, Asar b'Teves, and Tisha B'Av. Rashi didn't talk about Tanis Esther. Oh, very good. Because we know Tanis Esther structurally is a different type of fast day. I think we had a share here once before Purim where we talked about it. Everyone knows the structure of Tanis Esther. First of all, it has nothing to do with Chorban Mesa Mikdash directly. That's A. B, it's not in the same list of the fast days that the Novi records. It wasn't in that list. So the Ritva has this kash number from Frekta Ritva. Ubitaina Shalifne Purim Shanogu Lakdima Liamaknisa. I Frekta Ritva, I Tainis Esther. Shimdahu Tainis Tshuva. That Tainis is a Tshuva. The Lesbe Mishum Makdume Purunusa Kla. Now, this is a very interesting Ritva. I was toiling the option of giving a totally different share this week. And the other part of the share was going to be what is the makeup of a fasting? What are the two tzadim? Nachachakir. What are the two tzadim of a fast day? On one hand, a fast day could be a day of mourning. It's one way to look at it. The other way to look at a fast day is it's a day of tshuva. Those are the two tzadim. Now, Rabbi Asher Weiss discusses it at length. He has a nice piece about it, which maybe we'll reference. But this Ritva seems to give it away. The Ritva seems to say that what? That Taina says that that's a yom tshuva. So the impression is that every other day is not tshuva. So you would sound like from this Ritva that he holds that Taina says that's a yom tshuva. All the other days, those are just avails. So
now, it's more
like
it was a
percussion. Good. Exactly. That's why I don't want to learn that's what Ritva means. The way you could have learned this Ritva is the Ritva telling you a big insight that all other fast days are all avails. And this one happens to be tshuva, so tshuva is different than avails. That's why you can learn this Ritva. I think it sounds like that from the words. But I don't think that's true. Because Lamais, it's hard to imagine that all our fast days are avails because an oval doesn't fast. There's always the chap. There's no din. An oval doesn't fast. So how could you tell me that all our fast days are because of avelis if an oval himself doesn't fast? I mean, look in the Chumash. What do we have in the Torah about fast days? We have Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, first of all, has Chamish Shinuyim, and it starts the night before. But is Yom Kippur a day of mourning? Of course not. Yom Kippur is a day of tshuva, for sure. That less man depalik. So how do you look at these fast days? So there's a famous Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer writes a Rambam, the Magen Avraham quotes the Halacha, the Berurah brings it down, that the purpose of a fast day is to do tshuva. That's at least that much we have. But the horror that they make is that how can you tell me it's about avelus? An avel is allowed to eat.
There's different types of avelus. That's avelus chadasha
versus. Okay, that's one option. One option is every
fast in order to
right. So Rabbi Shmai comes up with a very simple chap, which I thought was very gishmak. Says Rabbi Shmai, you can't expect an avel to fast for 7 days. It's not practical. Maybe Avelis does require some form of fasting, but it's just not practical. But he points out there is a time when an oval fasts. Yahrzeit. So we find an oval fast. He points out, Rabashi, we do find an oval fast. There is a Ramah, which is not so widely practiced today, even amongst Ashkenazim Jews, that on the Yom of Atanis is supposed to fast. So what's the Sheikhah? So Zogti Rabashi, you see that even on a Yom of Avelis, there's such a musig of fasting. So why doesn't oval fast call Shiva? So he wants to suggest it's just that it's not practical to have an oval fast for 7 days. So this Ritva might get thrown into that mix, but I don't think so. I don't think it has to be. I think you could learn that Stamzik, we know Tainus Esther was a happy ending. The whole Tainus Esther was a happy ending. It didn't end sadly. It was the beginning, and then months later, Klai Shavuot got saved, and then happily ever after. So that could be what the Ritva means. It means there's no element of sadness on Tainus Esther, because the whole the tzura of the fast is not a sad experience, because ultimately, again, the whole purpose was just to bring Klal Yisrael to the tshuva, and ultimately it worked because Klal Yisrael ended up, you know, winning, and everything ended in a positive. That's what you could say with this Ritva. But again, something to keep in mind when you're donning on a fast day: what's the mahus? What's the tzur? What's the makeup of the day?
It always has to be before
Purim. Why does it have to be before Purim?
Because the whole it was a lead up to Purim.
Okay.
Without the fasting, they wouldn't have.
That's true. Before. That is true. That's yeah. true. It's so definitely the it precursor after. to the right. The question is, does it make sense that okay? Right. Okay.
Right, so
good. Meaning, right. Even though we know it happened, again, it didn't happen on Yud Gimel, but it happened months. It happened 11 months before the Purim story. It happened in Nisan, then the following Adar is when we were saved. But you're saying that in order to be in chronological order, it has to have
a
that's the question. Does it make sense to have something like to have Tisha B'Av after Tisha B'Av make sense to you? Even
yes,
though
you can never hear what happened.
Okay, good.
We're always doing that.
Right, that's a good shot. We're always going backwards. Okay, I hear. It's a good point. That maybe it's possible because we have to go in chronological order to commemorate the series of events the way it happened back then. Okay, so now we're going to get into the real Shiloh over here from the Divrei Malkiel. The Divrei Malkiel was a Malkiel Tenenbaum. It was the Lom Jerov. So he died in 1910. Now his death is interesting. He died en route to a very famous meeting that took place in 1910. In 1910 in St. Petersburg, Russia, there was a big Asifas Rabbanim to discuss how much secular education should we allow in the yeshivas, how much secular education should rabbis have rabbinic smicha, should they have legal smicha, should they go to college training, all these different things. You'd be shocked to see who said what on this topic, but not for now. So the Lom Jerov was on his way. Many big litvish gedolim were not so against some of the Rabbanim getting some form of secular education to appease the government and to be able to interact with the government, but for a different time. So the Lom Jerov was on his way to this trip. It was a big asif. All the who's who of gedolim were there. And Hitaka died. He was young. I think he was in his early 60s. Hitaka died on this trip. On en route to this big asifa, he died, and he died in 1910, this year of the big meeting. This meeting is famous because it gave room to a famous mistake that everyone makes. At this meeting, the Chavetz Chaim met up with the Arsamech, Meir Simcha. And there was a little bit of a fight between the two of them, whatever that means, to fight with the Chavetz Chaim. And the Meir Simcha said some very harsh words to the Chavetz Chaim. There was a little bit of bad blood. So they say, if you look in Mishneh Berurah, in his Sefer, he very rarely quotes any contemporaries. Contemporary means anyone from the 20th century. The only place you find is in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, he quotes from Dar Sameach something about where to put the Sefer on your mouth. So why did he do it? So he said, because he didn't want anyone to think that him in Dar Sameach had bad blood, so he put him in a Sefer. Beautiful story. It's not true. Why is it not true? The meeting happened in 1910. Mishneh Berurah came out way before 1910. Years before 1910. So unless you say the Chavetz Chaim also had Nevuah, the story is bogus. Okay, so if you're a real chassid, you can say the Chavetz Chaim had Nevuah. But the Mishneh Berurah came at the end of the 1800s, way before the story ever happened. But it is true. He doesn't really quote contemporaries, but he does quote his son. Nachash Shabbos in a Ber Halacha, he quotes from his son. He had a son who was a big Eloh, who never died young also. He died. He was helping the town of the people. There was an issue in the town. He was helping people and he got sick. It was during the winter. He got pneumonia and he died young. He quotes him in Hilchas Shabbos with certain halacha. But it is true. If you go through Mishneh Berurah, you'll see that he frequently does not, he very, very infrequently quotes contemporary. I mean anyone from the 1900s, but he does quote this Remeir Simcha, but it's not because he wanted to make peace between him and Remeir Simcha. But in any case, so the Divrei Malkiel was the Lom Jerov, and he talks like this. Listen to the Chakir. Shenistapik v'koton shehigdu ba'asiri bo'ov v'shona shechal Tisha B'Av b'Shabbos. The Shaila goes like this. What happens? He's talking about Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av shechal yeis b'Shabbos, like this year. And you have a katan whose bar mitzvah is not Tisha B'Av, but Yud Av. I happen to have a Talmud like that. He told me his bar mitzvah is Yud Av. Beautiful. Yud Av. So the shayla is, im tzarech le'sanis. Does he have to fast? Well, what's the shayla? Why shouldn't he have to fast? So the way the Achreidim set it up, both the Divrei Malkiel and now the Nezer, is with this chakir. What is the pshat in the Tainus mitzvah? What's the pshat? So there's two ways to look at it. On one hand, you could say, is that really you're supposed to fast on the 9th of Av? You're supposed to fast on the Shavuos of Tammuz. Those are the dates marked on the calendar for the fasting. But you can't. So we have a thing in Judaism called makeup dates. Hashlumen. Right? L'havdil, you have rain days in baseball, so you have a makeup date. The makeup date is the next day. That's the makeup date. But makeup dates are only for someone who needs a makeup. This kid on the 17th wasn't chayiv. So he doesn't need a makeup. Makeup are for those who missed it. I wasn't in the ballpark the first time. So according to that tzara l'chakira, he should be potter. What's the other tzara l'chakir? No, Shavuos HaBetamuz this year is moved over. It's moved over. They built into the system that whenever it falls on a Shabbos, we move it over here. That's the way of looking at it. So on that side, then he should be chayiv. Those are the two tzadim in the chakira that we're going to work with a lot in this topic. Do we say it's a tashlumin? Or do we say, no, we just moved it and put it to a different day whenever it falls out on Shabbos? So says the Divri Makir, Tenenbaum, his initial thought process is he should be comparable to a Gemara Pesachim. What happens if you have a kid who becomes a gadol between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? Does he have to bring carbon Pesach Sheni? That's a classical case of the Gemara. She'im hu tashlum the Rishon Isa Shem She'en Tzach Lavi. If you hold that Pesach Sheni is a makeup date for those who missed it the first time around, I didn't miss it the first time around. I wasn't mechuyev the first time around. I was under bar mitzvah. So he writes to him, Ken hu adi beniti didon she'tzoy ma'asiri hu tashlum shal tishabov v'kimin shaya poter batishabov hu poter gam kemil hashlum. So that's the way the Divrei Makir says of the Chakir. Very simple. If it's a tashlumin, he's poter. If it's a rearranged chiyuv, then he's chayev. But what's his other tzad? His other tzad is no. It's not a tashlumin. They set it up this way that whenever Tisha B'Av falls on a Shabbos, the day to commemorate Tisha B'Av is Yod. In that case, Tisha B'Chayv. Then he throws us for another knetch. Because if you remember, the Gemara in Tainus tells us that really every year Tisha B'Av should be on the 10th. Because the Gemara tells us that the bulk of the Beis HaMikdash burnt on the 10th day. So, Frank, the Gemara and Tainus, so why attack it? We fast the 9th? So the Gemara says we like to commemorate when it started. So, Mele Zoktiv, Divrei Makir, very Gishmak. So, if that's true, so when it comes to Tisha B'Av, there's even more of a reason to assume that you should fast on the 10th, because every year we should really fast the 10th. But for some reason, we decided to go best in the Haskalah. But a year like this, we keep it the way it's supposed to be. And therefore, says the Divrei Makir, logic would dictate it's not a Tashlumin, but rather it's a rearranged takono. If it's rearranged, then the kid has to fast.
Yeah, that's not your point.
Oh, says the Divrei Makir. 1 second. That's very nice. That's very nice when it comes to Tisha B'Av. What do you do about Shavuos B'Tammuz? Do you say the same lomdus by Shavuos B'Tammuz? Or do you say, no, Shavuos B'Tammuz is a different lomdus. Shavuos B'Tammuz maybe is a tashlumen. Now, is it weird to say that Tainis Nitcheis work differently? I don't know. Maybe and maybe not. Depending on the lomdus. Then he writes, Ayin chaburei chelu gimel, ashikasa b'zeh. Ulefizeh yesh estapek, b'tanis yudayim b'tamuz. V'ayit yeshloim edal koponim chalol of mitzvahs chinuch v'mitzvahs b'shnas yud gimel. Then he says, maybe there's a concept of chinuch. Rak she b'tanis ekilu shek tanim l'yash limu b'nei choshes gufim. He says an interesting story. He says, really, we know, he actually had aloha share about this, about kids fasting before the bar mitzvah, bar and bas mitzvah. So he says, really, there is a concept of chinuch, but we can't, have them do it because it's going to affect their health. He says, you can't say that this kid is completely removed. He still is somewhat in the parsha. He's not completely disconnected from fasting. He is someone who should be fasting, except we can't make him fast because he's under 13. Even though chinuch is the parent to the child, not the child himself, he should fast a couple of hours. Says the Divrei Makir, Gevaldik Alumnus. Says the Divrei Makir, I don't even understand the whole Chakir from the first place. He says, Tashlumin means I could have done something and I didn't, so I have a makeup day. Here we knew that whenever they made up Tisha B'Av, whenever they made Shiva Tammuz, they knew it might fall out of Shabbos. And they knew we're not going to fast. So you can't call that a makeup date. Makeup is when it is possible and should be done, but for some technical reason, it's not being done. Here, it's not possible from the get-go. That's not called a makeup. Therefore, he argues, what's Pesach Sheni? Pesach Sheni means most Jews should bring in a Pesach Rishon. You theoretically could have, should have, but you had a technical reason why you couldn't. But here, no one could. And from the get-go, we knew no one could fast. Because we knew you can't fast on Shabbos.
Well, we don't know why yet.
We didn't get to the why you can't fast. The facts are still the facts. The facts are that we're not fasting on Shabbos for these fastings. So Mamela says to Divrei Makir, how do you call that a tashlumin? What do you mean makeup? Makeup makes sense when you could have, should have done something. Let's say by davening. What's tashlumin? I should have davened mincha. I got stuck in traffic, so they gave me a makeup time. But if let's say, for example, it would be impossible for everyone to daven, it wouldn't be called a tashlumin. So therefore, argues Divrei Makir, the concept of tashlumin doesn't make sense in our Gemara.
Is it the same? So that example of missing the korban or missing the start of Shabbat,
that's something that got in the way, right? But by fasting, it's the Rabbanim said you shouldn't fast on Shabbos. It's not a technical problem.
Exactly, that's the point. That's his point. His point is whenever you have a technical problem that stops you, then we give you a makeup day. But when we have a fundamental reason that stops you, then it has to be that they rearrange the calendar. That's his argument. His argument is you can't tell me it's a makeup day when we knew going into it we wouldn't be able to do it. Now, what's a makeup day? You schedule a party expecting the weather to be nice. And you hope it's going to be nice. And if it happens to rain, then you do it the next day. You don't schedule a party lechatchila for the makeup day.
What came first? The scheduling of the young, they didn't.
No, so he's saying they knew when they structured Tisha B'Av, they knew it might fall out on Shabbos, and they knew we don't know why yet, but they knew that they weren't going to be able to fast on Shabbos. So when they sat down and made the rules, they had to have written what they had. They wrote, "Oh yes, yeah, so you'll have makeup day whenever it falls." What do you makeup day? You knew it wasn't going to be possible. So argues the Divi Makil, and this a lot of Achrayim think, and it's a big nafkamina lahalach. If you assume there's no option of Tashlumin over here, then it's partial that the kid has to fast on Yud Av or today. So the Divrei Makil is changing his mind. He's not saying it's because Tisha B'Av is really on Yud. He's switching his lumdus. He's saying it's because there's no such thing called a Tashlumin. Now, if there's no such thing called a Tashlumin, it makes no difference to the Shavas Matam, the Zohar B'Tavis, Tisha B'Av. It's all the same lumdus. If you like the Divrei Makil's first pshat, that Tisha B'Av should always be Yud. So they say we just make it Yud. That's only good for Tisha B'Av, not good for Shavas Matam. But if you're saying it the way the Divrei Makil is coming out at the end, then it should, come out that all fast days are not Tashlumin. Because all fast days they knew might fall out on Shabbos. So they had to have a backup plan. That backup plan was we moved it over to the next day. That's the Divrei Makil. Now you have to see this very important Tshuva Sarajma. Short Tshuva Sarajma. Oh, right, exactly. So now the big kash is now going to be, so why do we have leniencies for a Nitcha? The way we just structured it, the way we just set it up, is it's they knew from the get-go it can't be today. So they moved it over a day. So if they move it over there, why all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's cooler now with Mako. Why are you Mako? That's the biggest cash in this whole thing.
Well, I'm structured in it also.
So you're going to have to say you structured it also, but then why? You just have to figure out why. So if it will be a Tashlumin, so then you can be Masma, very Geshmak. Really the fast day is Shavas Matam. Really the fast day is 9th of Av. So now it's already Tashlumin. It's already watered down. It's not the Ikar Yoim. You can understand why they were more Mako. But if it would be Masma, the way the Divrei Makil is coming out, that it's not possible to be Tashlumin, it must have been a rearranging of the calendar. So why talk is it so Mako? That's really the big question.
Why is it supposed to be because I don't require people to fast on Shabbos? We have Tainus
Chalom. Yeah, we'll come back to that. I keep on saying we don't know yet why. We'll see. Rechaz Chinuch has his kasha, and Reb Chaim has his kasha. We'll come back to it, as I think will be very relevant to the sugya. So we'll come back to it. Let's take a look at this Tshuva Sarajma now for a second. Talk to Tshuva Sarajma number 5. Umashe she'alta b'tishba of shecholias b'shabbos. We're going to go a little bit ahead. We're usually behind in this year. We're going to go a little bit ahead. The Shabbos is going to catch up to us in a few weeks. We got to get moving, right? We're going to go a little bit ahead. Tisha B'Av Shecholos B'Shabbos a few weeks from now, right? Tisha B'Av Shecholos B'Shabbos, someone asked the Rashba, is there an Isser Tashmish on that Shabbos? What's the Shabbos, says the Rashba? Mi havi k'ovel d'almo d'amina d'vorm shebetzin anoyim. Simple kasha. It's clear the Rashba Shaila, is there d'vorm shebetzin anoyim on Shabbos in 3 weeks from now, right? Shabbos Shechol Tisha B'Av on the calendar. We obviously are not commemorating Tisha B'Av on Shabbos because we don't do Avelos on Shabbos. But what about Dvarim Shebetzina? Things in private like Tashmish. So what's Rashba answer? Nearly. She'enoyig bo shum Avelos. Says Rashba, zero, nothing. There's no remnants of Avelos on Shabbos. Why? Da aminon ma'le al shulchonik yisuda shleima b'shaiter. Da Avelos yishono. The kol shekei de legamri akrua mitchi'i v'okma. Lashon Rashba. Because they took Tisha B'Av and they moved it to Yud Av. But they really always belonged there. So what does the Rashba say clearly? The Rashba says clearly that Tisha B'Av that falls on the Shabbos, it's moved. It was akruhu. They picked it up and they put it on Yud. Therefore, says the Rashba, test of is zero. It's meaningless. It has no halachic ramifications for the fast day because it's not Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av was moved to Yud. Says the Rashba, why? Because it really should always be Yud. So why is it not Yud? Because the Gemara says we go after the Aschol. But a year like this, it made sense just to move it over. That's this Rashba. So the Rashba was clear that according to him, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, at least Tisha B'Av, we don't know what the Rashba would hold about Shavuos B'Tammuz, but at least Tisha B'Av, according to the Rashba, it is moved over. It's not a Tashlum. Very Gishmak. Now, if you take a look over here, number 6, it's not so simple. Why is it not so simple? Because take a look in Shulchan Aruch. This is the Rashba. Take a look in Shulchan Aruch number 6 in Tov Kuf Nandalit. Im Chal Tishba B'Shabbos Mutter B'Kulon Afilu B'Tash B'Shamita. Says the Mechaber Halacha L'Maisa. If Tishba falls on a Shabbos, you're allowed to have relations that Friday night. Who's the Mechaber going like? The Rashbam. Now what? The Pshat is that Tishba was moved from the 9th to the 10th. There's no Avelos whatsoever on the 9th. Exactly, exactly. That's exactly this Chakira, right? Says the Ramah, the Yesh Aishim Tash B'Shamita. So like, no, some people prohibit it. Why would you prohibit it? Because if you hold at the other side of the Chakir, you hold that it's a Tashlumin. What does it mean it's a Tashlumin? That really the fast day is the 9th day of Av. Whatever you can get out of it, you do. I mean, the other side of the Chakir is that the fast day is the 9th day of Av. Now, you can't fast because you're not allowed to, but whatever Avelas you could do, you should do. And therefore, says the Rambam, Tashmish, which is Davish Abitzini, you should keep. And then tomorrow, you'll keep the rest of the things that you can't keep today. Why? So you have to remember, Tisha B'Av is unique. Tisha B'Av might have both dinim of a fast day. It might have the Avelus and the Yom HaTainus of Tshuva. Might have both in it. So then you can start splitting Yom HaTainus and the Avelus and things like that. The problem...
You only have to make up those things that you couldn't do on Shabbos, so that it's going to be fulfilled the refrain.
So that's, we'll see. Rabbi Soloveitchik makes such an argument like that. He wants to think that maybe the Pshat and the Mechaber is not so long. Maybe the Mechaber holds it's not Mestaveh that you should have to have 2 days to keep Avelos. I mean, according to the Ramah, it comes out you're keeping Avelos for 2 days. Why do you have to do that?
You should be able to receive in your house either.
According to this. Right. Anything that's in it. We'll come back to it. So let's just work with the easy level now. The easy way of saying it is that the two Shitas of Mechaber and Ramah are totally in Archa Q. If it's a Nidche, Nidche means that we removed it from 9 to 10. So then the Mechaber makes a lot of sense. That there's absolutely no Dvarim Shabbat Sinner Noi, because today is not Tisha. It says 9 on the calendar, it doesn't mean anything. Mashenkin, the Ramos seems to hold, not like the Rajbo, the Ramos seems to hold that there is some remnants of the day, even though the practical or most of the practical rules will only be tomorrow. That's Tisha B'Av. Now you'll ask me, what does that do with Shabbos and Thomas? So I think it does. Why? Take a look at number 7. I think it'll be telling you two things. There's a Magen Avraham, which we've spoken about before. We mentioned before the Gemara. We mentioned that the Gemara tells us that the Chiyuv of Taneisim Bizman Azeh were really up to us to decide. Why? The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, if there's Gzeiras HaMalchus, if we're being oppressed, then the fast days are mandatory with all Chamishinu. If there's Shalom, which Roiv Rishonim learn means there's a Beis HaMikdash, some Rishonim learn means a Roiv Klai Yisrael live in Eretz Yisrael, which I don't think we have today anyways. We don't have Roiv Klai Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, but we're getting there. Continue on the way we are in America, we're going to get probably even more, but we're getting there. A lot of Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael, but most we show and learn it means based on Mikdash, but okay. Then the Gemara says, then the fast days are joyous days. Says the Gemara, what happens if it's neither? So the Gemara says, it's up to you to decide. So we already pointed out that it's no longer up to us to decide. We have to fast just without the Chamish Shinuyim, and we don't start the night before. However, right, so Magen Avraham, he says, he says that really, why don't we take the fast with all the trimmings? Because it's too hard. It's too hard to have Chamisha Noyim. It's too hard to start the night before. But says the Magen Avraham, if you're a Baal Nefesh, then you take a Shabbi Machmir on all the minor fast days like Tisha. Fine. So I want to know, what about Shavuos B'Tammuz Shenitcha? According to this Chumrah of the Magen Avraham, what about on Shabbos? If you're machmir, I don't know anyone that is, so don't ask me halacha ma'isa. If you know someone who's machmir for all the minor fast days that Itaka treats like a major fast day, he starts the night before and he keeps all the chamish inuyim. What did he do yesterday? Why? Because yesterday was Shavuos B'Tammuz on the calendar. It wasn't practiced Shavuos B'Tammuz because it was Shabbos. But if you follow this Ramah, according to Ramah, you take whatever you can take out of it. So then maybe he should have kept some Dvarim Shabbat Sinah on that actual day. I don't know. If you hold like the Mechaber, at least by Tisha B'Av, we took the whole day, we moved it. Maybe we did the same thing with Shavuos B'Tammuz. We took the whole Shavuos B'Tammuz and moved it to Yitzchak. Then there's no reason to keep anything on Shabbos. So I'm just pointing out that this Machloikis, Mechaber and Ramah, which came from the Tshuvas and Rashba, could be theoretically negated to Shavuos B'Tammuz.
What's the
Because he assumed that the only conflict with Shabbos is the actual eating, is the eating, Karas or Shabbos eating. So if I could circumvent that, meaning the Ramah clearly understood that the 9th day of Av is reason to commemorate it, even though it's Shabbos.
So we understand that the conflict of individual, the
All right, so he's his chiddush is that he thinks that the ninth day of Av is it doesn't move on the calendar. Whatever you can commemorate, you do. Whatever you don't, you make up tomorrow.
Isn't it that it's not that we're not allowed to fast, it's that we have to actually eat, like you have to have lechem mishnah, you have to, there are mitzvahs you have to do on Shabbos that involve eating. It's not that because it's Shabbos it's happy day you shouldn't fast, and therefore I'm not quite sure what therefore is.
I think it's a good point. I think you're right.
The bottom said you're not allowed to fast because it's a happy day, but there's a
Mitzvah Drabon. No, everything's Drabon. Correct. There is a push to do certain things, right? I agree with you. There is a push to, on Shabbos to do certain agreed. Okay. I hear. Your point is that it's not just that I can't go hungry, I have a dafka have to eat. There's an Indian to be dafti. Right, right. But again, the question is at what level chiyuvim these things equal. You know, it's a nice thing, but what does it go up against? That's always the question. What does it go up against? Obviously, halacha l'maaseh, this is a very important machlokes machaber ramah. They get to Lel Tefillah, what happens with the night of the mikvah, all these different shahs that come up halacha l'maaseh, because again, it's all a balancing act. What's more important in the world of halacha over here?
But Rabbi, I don't know different. Rabbi?
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, but how about like last night? This is the part I didn't understand when I asked you.
That's what I'm getting to right now. I'm getting to that right now.
Oh, okay.
So I think that this Chakira should be relevant to another Shaila. And this is a much bigger Shaila. Is when did the 3 weeks begin? So by now, there were 3 weeks before began. So sorry, it's too late now. But when did they begin? Did they begin Matzah Shabbos? Did they begin Friday before Shabbos? Did they begin Sunday morning? When did they begin? So we spoke about this also in the past. Rav Moshe and Rabbi Salvation got a big machlokes on this topic. They both agree to the same point. They both agree to the same point, which I don't understand personally, but I don't want to get into that now. They both agreed that Shavuos, the 3 weeks start whenever the fast starts. I would have thought Shavuos Matamas starts whenever the calendar says Shavuos Matamas. When is the calendar of Shavuos Matamas? In Judaism, the night precedes the day. So I would say nightfall going into the 17th is when Shavuos Matamas begins. But no one says like that. They all say that Shavuos Matamas begins when the fast begins. Now, when is the fast?
Because the 3 weeks is it starts, or there are 3 weeks of you change your behavior.
Correct.
Right? So you don't start changing your behavior until you start the fast. So even though the calendar might have been a day earlier.
That's what everyone says. I just don't know why it should be that way, but okay. No, we're going to get to it. We'll get to it in a second. That's agreed. I'm not disagreeing. Yeah, but we didn't say when the fast started yet.
It is also
we'll get to it in a second. Good. So halacha,
the last day is after the 3 weeks.
Because we continue a little bit more into
so you still have 3 weeks.
Right. I don't know if it's a you're right. So this whole concept of 3 weeks. Exactly. We'll come back to that a little bit more later today. There's some significance to this block of time. The question is, when does a block start? So I would have thought, in my simple understanding, is Shavuos Matamos is a day. So day Judaism, the night precedes the day. So whenever the night falls. They clearly, I'm wrong, because Rav Moshe says I'm wrong, and Rabbi Salvation, and all the other guys say I'm wrong. So I'm wrong. I don't know why I'm wrong, but that much I'm willing to accept that I'm wrong. Fine. So when does the fast start?
Yeah.
Right? When does the fast start? So this is where Rav Moshe and Rabbi Salvation disagree. Rabbi Salvation thinks for Davar Pashut, the fast day started the night before. Every fast day starts the night before. But there's a heter to eat till the next morning. I mean, this we got into many years. We got into this late. Rav Moshe agrees with Rabbi Salvation, but he thinks that the fast day doesn't really start till the next morning, or at least the 3 weeks doesn't have to start until you're actually knowing the fast day, even though theoretically the fast day began the night before. Right, that's where Moshe had his tshuva in 1950, by making a chasana the night going into Shavuos Matamos. So halacha l'maisa, last night you were not allowed to do anything that you're not allowed to do in 3 weeks, according to everyone. Because we'll see, even Rav Moshe, who was mekel, agreed in a year like this, you can't be mekel. So now what do I want with this? So I want to say like this, look at Rav Moshe, number 8. Says Rav Moshe, "Avo b'yidzayim b'tamu shechol b'shabbos kodesh v'nitchol yom aleph." Like today, "Pashul lani yizdaiti sheyesh la'asim mishum the dinei ben amitzarim cholu oid b'shabbos." Rav Moshe says, "Because the dinim of the 3 weeks started already on Shabbos. Tiyesh mehem shenoygim gam b'shabbos." Because there are some rules of the 3 weeks that start on Shabbos. Now I don't know what Rav Moshe is referring to, because what rules are made on Shabbos? Shachianu, the Magen Avraham writes that we do say Shachianu on Shabbos, but I don't know why Rav Moshe didn't say better. Why didn't Moshe say, because Shavuos Matamos is the Hascholas of 3 weeks, and Shavuos Matamos is Taka Sunday. It's Taka Shabbos. But we can't fast, so Mamela. I mean, why didn't Moshe say that the lumdus is that really Shavuos Matamos was on Shabbos? It's just that practically we can't fast, so we were mashlemen on Yod Ches. Meaning this Chakir that we keep on talking about should be relevant for the 3 weeks. If the pshat is that really yesterday was a fast day. So if yesterday was a fast day, then it's partial the 3 weeks started yesterday. But if the fast day first starts today, so you go back to the old Shiloh, it doesn't start the night before, it doesn't start the day. Well, I don't know if Moshe never entertains that possibility. And Moshe doesn't say that the reason why the 3 weeks start is because that Shiva Sabatama's that this year was Shabbos. He doesn't say that. It's because the rules of Beit HaMitzrayim already started. I would have thought to say a bigger Chiddush. I would have thought to say that because Shiva Sabatama's was the Shabbos. No one kept it. That, yeah, because the rules were pushed off. But Be'etzem, the fast day of Shiva Sabatama's started on Shabbos. Right. So the rules are pushed off. But if you hold that the 3 weeks are totally in the actual tainus, yesterday was the actual tainus. No, he doesn't say that. The Moshe says the reason why it was pushed off, the reason why it starts is because there was dinim bein hamitzrayim that we kept on Shabbos. Now, I don't know which dinim he was referring to. What dinim? What, he didn't make a chasan on Shabbos? He didn't take a haircut on Shabbos? He didn't listen to music on Shabbos? He didn't dance on Shabbos? Probably shouldn't dance on any Shabbos, right? And then the Shachiyanu, most places you could say Shachiyanu on Shabbos. So I don't know what Moshe means. But I would have liked if Moshe said to the alumnus, I would have liked him to have said that the fast actually started in Shavuot Zimtam. But if you look at the next tshuva, this is in Chelek Gimel. There he writes a similar alumnus. He writes, "Ubedavar tainis yudzayim betam shachal b'shabbos v'tchol yesh la'aser." Talk to Moshe. Yesh la'aser is kalech gam b'matzah Shabbos. It's also the shave. Kidechasafti v'chol dinei ben hametzom. Kidechasafti because Moshe Chelek Arachaim Simon Kuf Samaches v'mchal b'matzah Shabbos u'tal b'machloigis take a b'riyasei. The yudzayim betam was nitcha yesh la'ach mekimin shu ben hametzorim mamish. So that sounds like a different lumbus.
It's different than Hilchos Beis Mitzrayim depend on the date on the calendar, regardless right. of what day it is. The fast, maybe it's independent of the date. The fast is whenever Chazal said we could fast.
Right,
one may have nothing to do with the other.
That's what I would like him to say. I don't
it is what he's saying, no?
No, he's saying over here is that Yudzayim B'Tammuz is Kivishu Ben HaMitzor Mamash.
Right. Nothing to do with the fast. It's completely independent.
Yeah, but that doesn't sound like the first Shuvah. First Shuvah sounds like, but as it is, we're already keeping some of the rules.
Of Ben Amitzar.
Right.
Nothing to do with the fast. It isn't mentioned fast at all.
Right. So I want to know if you can argue that the etzim, the fast day starts. No, in the other tshuva, I didn't photocopy it. Oh. It's very clear that he's toiled the scholars of Ben Amitzar and the scholars of Tainus. He just holds that's Macholik Sutraim when the fast day starts. I want to argue, like you were saying, no, it's not telling the fast day. It's telling either in the Yoim or it's telling the actual fast day. Either you commemorate it or it's on the books to be kept. But Moshe holds somewhere in between. No, Ramosha seems to be saying that the reason why the 3 weeks started on Shabbos was because there's already rules that are relevant on Shabbos.
Again,
but the problem is he acknowledges in a regular year. Let's say Shabbos times would be Tuesday, Monday night. Ramosha holds you can get a haircut. Why? Because Ramosha holds Monday night is not yet the start of the fast day. I on the calendar of Shabbos times. That's where I'm having a little bit of trouble understanding.
It's very similar to Sefes.
Exactly. Right. How do you explain that type of thing? Are we moving the date, right? Are we changing the date or just being machmer on ourselves, divindi? Okay, so this is just for fun. Yeah, Michael, what?
When do the 3 weeks end this year?
Oh, Joe, when do the 3 weeks end? That's a good question. The assumption is we'll have to get to that one point, but the Avelis post the, what's the lumnus of the Avelis post Tisha B'Av? Well, we have Avelis till following day. Exactly right. What do we have? We have a musig of Avelos after the Beis Hamikdash. What's that about? So that's connected to the notion that there was still Chorban on Yud, which we'll come back to in a few minutes. Aaron.
What the other Kippur, of course, is the Raisa, but the Tainesim, the only one we have that starts at night is Tisha B'Av.
Yeah, but that's
is
not. That because, that's only because that? That's because the Gemara says the other fast days were up to us to decide. Again, during the Holocaust here in America, the Jews kept Shabbos Matamas also like Tisha B'Av. Because when the Gemara says, when the Gzeres HaMalchus, you have to keep it with, because again, a fast day by definition is, starts the night before with Chamishinu. What we have today is watered down fasts, because we can't handle the full blown the fast day. So the Chatzilu, a real fast day is with all the trimmings. But we accepted upon ourselves these fast days with a tamer version of it. That's why the Mishnah Berurah, Magen Avraham says about Baal Nefesh, if you can handle it, probably you should go with you should go all the way. Now, I gotta have a different way of learning this Mishnah Berurah we spoke about in the past. Is that because Mishnah Berurah sounds like in Shiret Zion? Because you have to remember that Mishnah Berurah lived in Radin. Life wasn't peachy rosy for the Jewish people in those days. Every day there was another pogrom or something else. So he wanted to know maybe we're really living in Gzeres HaMalchus. That would be a very hard sell for today in America, Baruch Hashem, with all the problems we have here. For the most part, we can't exactly call it Gzeres HaMalchus. So it would be a nafkamina maybe to know, is there even a reason to be machmir today? Why should we be machmir today? Because maybe we're really under gzeiras hamalchus. I can't imagine this is perceived gzeiras hamalchus. Yeah, inflation's bad, but it's not a gzeiras hamalchus issue. It's for everyone issue. But yeah, in any case, that's a shmuz for a different time. But the Mishnah Berurah does bring this down. He does record such a practice that a baal nefesh should be machmir on every fast day to keep the chamisha inuim. Which again, don't confuse that. A lot of people confuse that with a different ber halacha. There's a ber halacha that quotes the Prima Gadim that says that on Asar B'Tevis and Shavas B'Tamas, we treat them like the 9 days. That's not this chumrah of the Mishnah Berurah. That's a different chumrah, which is all the shahs are coming today. Can you do go laundry, this, swimming, all these other shahs are coming. There is a ber halacha quotes the Prima Gadim, that we treat Shavas B'Tamas and Asar B'Tevis like we do the 9 days, which would then mean you can't go swimming, you can't do laundry, you can't do things like that. Now, there's another version that there's a typo in the Prima Gadim, and the whole thing is not true. Okay, so you go with that version. You go with that version, then it's not a gay. Now, if you go back to being a baal nefesh, then you can't swim anyways today because you have to treat it as a chamishinui. That's everyone to decide where they want to, what they want. My answer generally is on Shavuos B'Tamas Rabbi Tevis, if you can avoid it, better. Someone asked me this morning about doing laundry. If you can push it off to tonight, better. If you can't, okay, swimming. Someone told me they were Asar B'Tevis because Asar B'Tevis is winter time. People go on vacation. So they go to Florida. They're going to go swimming. I said, how many days are you there? You're there more than just one day, go the other day swimming. Okay. But it's something to think about. But that's not the same cheshbon over here. Over here, we're talking
about. I didn't understand.
Yeah, Mike.
Rabbi, I didn't understand Joe's question as far as ending. What should the Nafkamina be? That Lechaira definitely ends. So if it's a Nitcha, comes Matzah Yontif right away, you can do everything come Sunday night. Oh? No?
Well, it has to be Mazmur. This question is, what's the Sibas Achiev for.
No, Mamanashah. In other words, either way you look at it, post Tisha B'Av, you should be able to do anything. Because it's past the day, and it's past the 10th. So even if it's
So this year, we'll probably discuss in the Halacha Shir, the different leniencies that will come out, because this year Tisha B'Av was actually Yud instead of on Tess. Okay, so let's get moving. We didn't get to the meat and potatoes yet. So Nachba, what do we have on hand? We have a Chakira, two ways of looking at a Tainus Nitzche. We also have a sub-Shaila. Does Shavuos B'Tamas Nitzche look differently than a Tisha B'Av Nitzche? And then we have the question of how will Tisha B'Av look when you have a Nitzche? So now you have a Kasha of the Turiyav, which should really bother everyone. We mentioned from the Rashba that Tisha B'Av, when it falls out on Shabbos, it gets moved over to Yud because it really should always be on Yud. So on a year like Tisha B'Av Shacholos B'Shabbos, instead of having it watered down on Shabbos, we just moved it up and put it in its place where it should be anyways. So asks the Turiyav a very good question.
I
Which night? Friday night?
So on a normal year, it's Tuesday, so Monday night, you know.
We started ready to
issue. But on a Nitcha, so it's full blown Shavuos B'Tamas already come Saturday night.
Correct.
Right. No, you're actually at the 18 already.
Right, but again, if you hold that the fast day was moved.
If you're picking it up and moving it over, so it shouldn't be treated any differently than if that was actually. Right.
But correct.
If you go the other way, so you just sort of deferred the fast.
That's it.
So
you're saying is all Ramesh was, I think, pointing out that you're already in the Bein Hamitzarim time. However, Lomdus, you want to slice it, you're in that time period. You're already there.
Even more so than if there wasn't a Nitcha. It's like.
Right. You want to make an argument that there's more reason to treat. Right, that's exactly Ramesh's point. That's why. Even though in a regular year, Ramosh would allow you to take a haircut the night going into Shavuos B'Tamas, last night he didn't. And he didn't. And he doesn't. Ramosh held you can. Right. That's what I have to get to. We'll have to see what avails do you have in a year like Yud. That we'll have to get to. So listen to this Kash from the Turiyev. It's such a Gavaldic Kash. Back to Turiyev, if we take the Gemara in Tainus that says that the Iker Chorban happened on Yud, right? The bulk of the building burnt on Yud. And that, therefore, says the Raj, well, that's why on a Tainus Nitcha we move it over to Sunday. The Gemara says, why do we move a fast day from Shabbos to Sunday? Because Avdume Peronius Loi Mektamin. I have a much better Svara, the Svara of the Raj. Why did the Gemara say the reason why we move it over to Sunday is because Sunday has its own reason to have Tisha B'Av. Sunday has the reason because it really was the main Tisha B'Av. So now that it's, again, I can't do Shabbos. So I can either go this way or that. The Gemara says, Asvar, you know why you go this way versus that way? Because no one likes to bring up sad things. Hey, that's a good point. It would be enough nafkamina between Tanis, Shavuos B'Tamas, and Tisha B'Av, which Rashi put them all together. But Frek the Turiyev, why don't you say that's the reason? The reason why we make Tisha B'Av on Sunday is because it should always really be on Sunday. But for some reason, Chazal decided to make it because of the Aschola, So therefore, in a year like this, we just go based on the regular, like the Rashba said. Basically, exactly what the Rashba said should be what the Gemara said. That's the kasha of the Turiyev. Number 10. Why do you need that reason? Typically, once you can't get the actual day of nine, it makes more sense to go 10. Why? Like Kivatid El Basiri, says, if I would have lived during the times of the Chorban, I would have made it on the 10th. They should rub the Rabbanon. So why did the Rabbanon do it on the 9th? As Chalte the Peronius Adif. They like to start it from the beginning. Why don't you say that the reason why when Shabbos falls out Tisha B'Av, we should fast on Sunday, because maybe we should always really fast on Sunday. But Rabbanan had the Svara, we like to go based on the starting, but you can't have the starting on Shabbos, so the next best Svara is do it on Sunday. So why do you even have to come up with this new svar of Akdume Peronius? Say Pashut, because Sunday is the best day to do it because it's really the 10th. So what's the answer, says the Turi Evin? Very gishmak. No. You have to read the whole Gemara. The Gemara says that the Romans came in on the 7th and the 8th and they were destroying it physically, right? Then all the way on the 9th day, right before Shkia, that's when they decided to make a fire. So he says, 1 second. Once you're not doing it on Shabbos, so why don't you, maybe you should go based on the Haskalah of when they walked into the Beis Hamikdash. I mean, how do you know which way to go now? I have one reason to tell me do it on Yud because that's when it was burnt. But I have another reason to say do it when they walked in. They walked in on the 7th, do it on the 7th, or on the 8th. So again, I'm still torn with which day wins. Devo says the Turiyev and Hilkach Ilav Haytami Dekduma Peronis Lamitaminan Hayiroy Lahaktim Yemeshmini. Once we know that Chazal liked going by the beginnings, so if you're going to use the beginning date, go back to the 7th. That's when they began to walk into the base of Megdash. So the only reason why we don't do that is because Dekduma Peronis Lamitaminan. Very Geshmakateres from the Turiyev. Fine. Let's go a step further. Let's take a look in Yerushalmi. Yeah, we learn Bavli, but there's Yerushalmi over here. And I don't want anyone thinking I know random Yerushalmis. I don't. It's not a question of manivah, it's a question of honesty. I saw Abasha Weiss discuss this Yerushalmi. That's how he knows Yerushalmis. I don't know Yerushalmis. So he quotes two Yerushalmis, two very important Yerushalmis. One is the Yerushalmi Megillah. Let's look at the Yerushalmi Megillah. The Yerushalmi Megillah is the same comment as the Bavli. What did the Bavli say? Mishnah says in Megillah, we don't fast on Tisha B'Av Shechalis B'Shabbos, but rather we push it off to Sunday. Why? So the Gemara gave us a reason. And we mutch it with Tori Evans Kasha. Why do you need that reason? Why can't you just give the reason of? Because it should always be on you. Look at the Yerushalmi. You should really always fast on the 10th. So why do we ever fast on the 9th? Because that's when the bad thing started. What's built the Yerushalmi? What does the Yerushalmi want? So the way most Achrayim learn, Rabbi Shabbai sounds like that also, the Yerushalmi is mamish saying a different shot than the Bavli. The Yerushalmi is saying, why Taka do we fast on Tisha B'Av Shacharis B'Shabbos on Sunday? Because we should always really fast on Sunday. Why should we always really fast on Sunday? Because the Gemara says that we should always really fast on Sunday because that's really when it happened. So this Yerushalmi is really the Rashba that we quoted earlier. Now, what difference does that make in Lumbus? If it's because of Akdumi Piranias, it's because of this reason. So if you work it out, it should come out like this. If you hold that the reason why we're fasting on Yud is because this year they moved Tisha B'Av over a day, so we said the nafkamina will be is that on Tisha B'Av on the calendar, there should be no dine of avails. But says one step, let's go one step further. We have a principle called Shvua Shechalba, the week in which Tisha B'Av fell out. So if Tisha B'Av falls out on Tuesday, that whole week is Shvua Shechalba. Is there a Shvua Shechalba this year? This year, Tisha B'Av on the calendar is the 9th. It's commemorated on Sunday. So is the week preceding that considered Shvua Shechalba? So the Chayyim should be telling the same Chakir. If you hold that they moved Tisha B'Av from the 9th to the 10th, then there is no Shvua Shechalba. If they hold that Tisha B'Av is still on the 9th, and whatever you can keep, you keep. Whatever you can't keep, you can't keep. Then there should be a Shvua Shechalba. That's the Chayyim should come out. So if I just told you...
What would happen if the 10th became Shabbos? If the 10th was Shabbos.
It's not possible. It's impossible.
The 10th of Av can never be
Shabbos. Never be Shabbos.
If you moved it to Sunday... Even Sunday night, you can't do
that. Maybe, right. We're going to get to that part yet. Right. That might also be part of it. If there's a reason to continue it post. So, but look at this Yushami. Now, what did Yushami Megillah just tell us? Yushami Megillah told us they moved Tisha B'Av to Sunday. So if the Lomdus is they moved Tisha B'Av to Sunday, then what should Yushami hold about Shavuot Shechalboy? He shouldn't have Shavuot Shechalboy. Says Yushami Meseches Tainus. The 2 weeks leading up to it is mutter. The acharov, what about afterwards? In the Gemara, Yushami has two opinions, acharov. But the 2 weeks leading up to it, there is no shvu shechalboy. Why is there no shvu shechalboy? It's Yushami l'shitoso. Since Yushami holds like the, where we're saying in the Rajba, that they picked up the ninth and moved it to the tenth. So the ninth is zero. Shabbos is zero. Shabbos is not available. Shabbos is not Tisha B'Av. Then there is no shvu shechalboy. So that's why the Yushami l'shitoso writes, there is no shvu shechalboy on Tisha B'Av. What's the only problem? What's the only problem with all this? There's one major problem. I told you, what's the Mechaber hold? Mechaber holds that when Tisha B'Av falls on in Shabbos, no avelos on Shabbos. Zero, garnish, nothing. Which means that the Mechaber holds, we moved it to Yud. What did the Mechaber hold about Shavuot Shechalboy? Brings down two shittas. Why does he bring down two shittas? Why do you mean two shittas? Why is there two shittas? He brings down two shittas. It's on the next page, and I get to it. He brings down two shittas. Some say there is Shavuot Shechalboy, some say there's not Shavuot Shechalboy. Well, what's the Shiloh? Why should there be Shavuot Shechalboy according to the Mechaber? The Mechaber Lushitas is a stira. Mechaber Lushitas is the way we learned with the Rashba and Yushami and everything is because he holds they moved it to Sunday. So if they moved it to Sunday, how's there Shavuot Shechalboy? So then the next week will have to be Masber A, that, and B, then will be Masber after all the Lumdis. So why are there coolers for Tanis Nitzche? Well, what's the coolest? If they Taka moved it and moved it to Sunday, so now it's regular Sunday. No one ever comes to a rabbi in a regular Tisha B'Av and starts handling for coolers. But this year everyone does. Why? It's a Nitzche. What does that do then? In Lumdis, why does a nitcha change the halachic status of the fast? Mr. Hashem, next,
well, to the
exactly. The way we're being masked is Tishka Nitcha. It's Tisha B'Av just moved. So why is there any makel? We'll have to get to Rabbi Neder. Mr. Hashem, next week we'll finish up with that topic and try to be masked with that as best as we can. Okay.
Is there something called Tisha B'Av moved as opposed to
Nitcha? All of what you want.
Once you